welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I'm here for another bonus Vanderpump Rules recap. This was another fantastic week of Vanderpump Rules. Now, last week, I thought we were at a high point. Like, I loved last week's episode so, so much. And this week, I loved again. I'm loving every single week. Truly. Madly. Deeply. I think it's so, so good. And I like that this week we got, like, new dynamics, new feuds. We got a new holiday. At one point, Lisa, like, shoved Sheena's head to the floor and used her head as a table. I don't know if you guys caught that. We'll get there. But I thought it was, like, we're getting all these new dynamics and new friendships and new alliances. I'm loving it. And I like that they're not necessarily moving away from the old cast, but I like that, like, there's a new cast member, Billy Lee's getting in the mix, which we're going to talk about. And, you know, it just feels fresh. It felt fresh to me this episode, and also still grounded in the Vanderpump Rules that I know and love. So another great week. We open the episode with brunch at Sir. Billy Lee's doing a brunch with Billy Lee, and it looked like a big event. It looked like it was a fun time. Tom Sandoval was behind the bar. James showed up at one point to say hi. Now, this episode truly was like the emancipation of Billy Lee. Like, I know we got Billy Lee last season, but I feel like this episode was, like, all about Billy Lee. And what I found so compelling is that, look, I don't like to take sides, but ultimately I was Team Katie and the other girls on this one. I do feel like there was some gray area with the Billy Lee stuff. However, ultimately, like, I think it's hard when you throw out labels like transphobic or alcoholic or things like that. It was like, I would have been very upset if I was Katie or those other girls. But I also think there's some gray area, and I would actually like to focus on, like, the larger issue at hand. And this restaurant is in the middle heart of West Hollywood. There couldn't be more gay people in the neighborhood. Like, this, where Sir is located, where Pump is located, it's in the heart of, like, Boys Town in West Hollywood, right? But up until, like, last season, we haven't gotten any LGBT cast members on Vanderpump Rules, which I think is a shame. I think that we need more LGBT people on this show, especially considering where we're located, like where the show takes place, where it's located. So I was thrilled when Billy Lee came on board last season. And what I find so interesting about this episode is that it's really one, not to say that some of them aren't allies or whatever, but there it's like one person of the LGBT community basically up against all these straight people. And I'm not saying that I side with Billy on this fight and feud, which we'll get to. But I just find it an interesting dynamic for this show because we haven't seen it before. And it's frankly something we should have seen. How many seasons in are we? Like, we should have had more LGBT cast members up till this point. It's like shocking that we haven't gotten anyone. And I know these people are friends with LGBT people. So it's like, I don't, and I know there's LGBT people that work at these environments. So it's curious to me why there hasn't ever been any more people on the cast. But again, as I've said other times on the show, if you look across all the Bravo programming, there's still very few people from the LGBT community that are populating these casts, which is upsetting. And that's a tale for another time. But the point is, I love the drama. I love the drama this episode. I'm rambling and beating around the bush. But I loved it. And this episode was the emancipation of Billy Lee. So all of that is a messy way of me saying that for this episode, I was Team Katie and the other girls, and I do think there was some gray area. However, I was definitely Team Katie on this, and I don't even really love Katie, but I was Team Katie. My larger suggestion would be that we get another person from the gay community on these shows. And I don't think that we need to just throw any gay in front of the camera because, you know, this show in particular, it works because they're all friends in real life. I would recommend throwing a gay that they're friends with and test them out. Get them tested. And that sounds weird. I mean, like, get them tested in front of the camera. They should also be tested STD-wise. I think that's important. That's a lesson for us all to learn, gay, straight, or in between. But get tested, everyone. That's a lesson for us all. But I would like them to test some of the LGBT that they're friends with in real life. And then I think ultimately it would give us a better perspective on issues like this when they come up on camera. Also, while I'm here giving casting suggestions, more Dana, less Ken. Anyway, let's get back to the episode. So after the brunch, it's revealed that Stassi's having an out for the day holiday party. So Stassi created this out for the day holiday, which I think is a good idea. We see her setting up for the party or calling the florist at her house with Bo. Bo has an adorable dog named Refund, which I love the dog. And Bo's wearing overalls. And you guys, I love Bo. Here I am, out loud and proud. I love Bo. I know Bo is not part of the gay community, but I'm here to let everyone know that I love him. I find him so charming and likable. Stassi has never looked better. She looks happy. She looks fresh. It was so cute when he said, or when she said he got her that sign for above her mirror. You guys, at one point, can we just talk about something for a second? At one point, they flash back. So Stassi was at her apartment. She's planning for this outfit of the day holiday party. And then she says to the camera, to Bo or whatever, like, oh, this is much better, like, not having to, you know, be in the trenches getting the party set up like I was last year. And then they flash back to that time last year where Stassi was pretending to plan a party. I stand by the fact that I don't think she actually planned a party last season. I think it was all for cameras, but that's neither here nor there. The point I'm making is that other girl that's sometimes on camera, who I lovingly referred to as Kathy last episode, but her name's Christina. We're calling her Kathy on the show. Anyway, Kathy was in this flashback, and I thought, where's Kathy been? Like, we haven't seen Kathy at all this season. And so I thought for sure we were going to see Kathy at this Outfit of the Day holiday party, and I didn't spot her. That doesn't mean she wasn't around. It just means I didn't spot her. So, you know, look, people let me know if she's around, but I haven't seen Kathy once this season. And so, Kathy, Kathy, if you're out there, let us know you're okay. Somebody send an SOS for Kathy. Send out an SOS. We need to know Kathy's whereabouts. She's probably like behind the bar at Sir or something. Like, certainly she's around. But normally we get a bunch of appearances from her, and she's never very memorable on those appearances, but she's usually around. And we got a flashback from her, and I was like, whoa, Kathy. And then it turns out, you know, I was reminded that her name is Christina, which I know it's Christina. Well, we're here too, and we're talking about Stassi and Kathy. I do want to say something about Stassi. So last week on the show, I said Stassi's mom was on The Amazing Race, and I said I'd like to see it. Well, many of you corrected me, and Stassi's mom was not on The Amazing Race. It was her stepmother that was on The Amazing Race. So it was not Dana. But I would like to take this opportunity to encourage CBS, if you're listening, to cast Dana on The Amazing Race. Stassi's mom, Dana, deserves to be on some sort of reality program. I don't care what it is. Amazing Race, Masked Singer, The Voice, I don't care. Put her on a show. Tabitha Takes Over. You know, put her in a show with Kelly Catrone where they just go around talking to people. You know, I just need Dana on a program. Last week I was saying we need Kelly Catrone to do like her version of Marie Kondo, you know, that Marie Kondo show where she's tidying up. We need Kelly Catrone to just go around, and it could be the same concept where Kelly Catrone just helps people clean their house. Could you imagine Kelly Catrone just be like, what the fuck do you have this for? Just coming over and be like, what the fuck is this? And then she tells you to throw it away. You know, like, I would watch that. And then she could team up with Marie Kondo, and Marie Kondo would be like, does this bring you joy? And then Kelly Catrone would just step in and be like, the fuck it does. And then she'd throw it away in a trash bag. And then if you start crying, she'd be like, go outside. Anyway, I'd be happy if Dana Stassi's mom teamed up with Kelly Catrone or Marie Kondo. I don't know. We need to get Dana on the program. Any program, you know, she could be one of the Masked Singers. I don't know if they've revealed them all yet. I don't watch the show. But I wouldn't mind if she was either on the judging panel with Nicole Scherzinger and Jenny McCarthy or simply behind a mask. Either way, I actually prefer her on the judging panel. You know, I don't think we need to put a mask on Dana. Where were we? Oh, so we had that flashback of Kathy, which we need to figure out where she is. And then Stassi's crying to Bo about her mom, and that was sad. Last week was so tough to watch Dana and Stassi interact, and I did really think about it after the fact, and I was thinking, like, that must be awful to have. I mean, it was like everyone was laughing at her mom, me included. Like, I thought Dana was a riot, but I was thinking, like, if that was my mom, like, that'd be kind of horrifying. So, ugh. I hope Dana found the help she needs. I'm not laughing that Dana needs help. I'm just saying. Anyway, then we cut back to brunch with Billie Lee. Katie and Kristen show up, which is obviously like they're just stirring up shit, and I like it. I was excited for it. It was revealed that Lisa's banned Kristen from the restaurant 4 times. I think Tom revealed it. He said, like, Kristen's been banned from the restaurant like 4 times. And then here comes Kristen, just here for brunch. Just showing up for brunch. It doesn't matter how many times she's been banned. She's here for her brunch reservation, and somebody's going to give her an omelet and a goat cheese ball, whether they like it or not. You're not banning Kristen from any restaurant. She'll go where she pleases. And that's what I love about Kristen. So she showed up at this thing. And then we got some more confessionals from Billie Lee, which I don't know that we've gotten like maybe a taste of her confessionals, but we got more confessionals. And it was very energizing to me. Like at one point, Billie Lee had Sage in the confessional. It was like saging Kristen's energy. Billie Lee said, Kristen, her energy smells like dog shit. And this was a beautiful confessional. And then the in-person confrontation between Kristen, Katie, and Billie Lee was beautiful as well. There was so much awkwardness. Billie Lee is obviously Team James, and Kristen and Katie are obviously Team anyone but James. And Kristen has been getting a lot of flack lately about being on a tirade against James because it's her ex-boyfriend, and, you know, people say she's obsessed. But here's the thing. I think Katie is just as into getting James fired. Again, rightfully so. But I feel like we shouldn't put all the, like, gravitas on Kristen for being against James because it's also, you know, Katie. Some people message me, you guys, and tell me how they hate Kristen because, like, you know I love her. And I'll get messages being like, I like your show, but you like Kristen too much. I'm not apologizing for it, you guys. It is what it is. I'm living my truth. And I encourage you all to live yours. I appreciate the fact that some people don't like some of these people, but I stand for Kristen.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So there's all that awkwardness. And then there's a flashback. Billie Lee says she's really close to James. And then we see a flashback of post-surgery Billie Lee. And James comes over. And there's like a weird vagina joke that James make. I don't know. That's neither here nor there. The point is, I found it odd that we didn't see more from that. Like, they obviously filmed Billie Lee post-surgery, so they must have filmed her going in for her surgeries, and I feel like that's a storyline that we were kind of robbed of. But see, again, I know that a lot of people don't care for Billie Lee, you know, because people DM me their thoughts all the time, and so I know, you know, most people don't like Billie Lee. I'm curious where the people stand with this Kristen versus Billie Lee. It's interesting to me. But I still think like a this trans storyline that we wouldn't be able to get in other places. Like, I feel like we should have seen it on TV. But, you know, Vanderpump Rules has so much story to go through, you know? I mean, I don't know that we needed to see Sheena, you know, practicing her acting orgasm as much as it would have been great to see someone, you know, going through transitional surgeries. That's just my opinion. But, you know, I'm not a producer. So here we are. Here we are. So then, you know, Kristen and Katie are talking to Billie Lee. And Billie Lee is telling Kristen, like, you just come in here and you start drama all the time. And then Kristen comes back with the best little, like, comeback. She says, I'm a customer here and you're causing drama at my table. A table at a restaurant that she's been banned from 4 times. Oh, I love her. I love her. Also, we talked about her James May launch last week, and you guys heard James May is a named after her niece and nephew, I believe. So some people were asking me if it was named after James Kennedy, because I had just learned that that could be an option, because I'd never put the two and two together. But I come to find out it's her niece and nephew, so that's the story we're sticking to. Then we cut to that outfit of the day national holiday party at Pump. They're all there to support. Some of them are wearing very ridiculous outfits, and I loved them all. Tom was wearing like a long shirt and a hat, like a flowy shirt and a hat. You know, Sheena was wearing also just like a crop top with like a longer thing. And this was all about Brittany Jackson, LVP. So Brittany, in her confessional, she said she feels like she's been in conflict with LVP after like they had their staff meeting. And Brittany said in her confessional, being in conflict with anyone makes me feel like I'm going to poop out my stomach. Those are her words. I wrote it down. Said, being in conflict. Wait, let me try to do that. I don't know if I could do the accent. I'm on the brim of freaking out. I got to get in character. I'm engaged. I'm going to poop out my stomach. No, I see, I can't do it. I can't do it. I lost the accent. Anyway, everyone shows up to this party. Lala shows up, and we were introduced to like a little bit of a Lala versus Billie Lee feud, and it continued on, and I don't think we've seen the heart of it yet, but Lala did come to this outfit of the day party, and she talked to Katie and Kristen, and she said, yeah, Billie Lee's annoying me, something like that. Then she tells him that she's going to the studio with James, and then Kristen and Katie say, look, James isn't changing, like he's going to be an asshole, whatever. You shouldn't go to the studio with him. And I was shocked to see Lala give in so quickly, because that's not the Lala that I know and love. It seemed like Lala so quickly was like, you know what? You're right. I think he played me. And as Lala said in her confessional, she doesn't get played. She's not a fiddle. But I found it odd that she just switched so quickly. And maybe there was more to it that we didn't see, but it seemed weird to me. Then it's revealed that they're going to do a girls' night in instead of see you next Tuesday. And I'm just looking at my notes and I saw something about Sandoval playing the trumpet, which we'll get to. And anyway, so they're planning this part. They're going to do a night at Sir on Tuesday night. That's going to be the girls' night in. And they're going to try to take over for that see you next Tuesday. So then at one point, Ariana and Tom are in the corner. They're like sitting at a table. Lala goes up to them. And there's this little moment, I don't know if you guys caught it, but Lala was like, I want you guys to make a baby. And then Tom said the only way he's going to get a baby is if he can carry it. And he said, knock me the fuck up. And I thought, that's a movie we need. I need to see, that's a storyline that should be happening on this show. Like, I want to see Tom carrying a baby. And also, I think it's annoying that everyone keeps asking Ariana if she wants a baby or not. Like, some people don't want babies. And I think somewhere along the line, we need to stop asking women if they're going to have a baby or when the baby's coming or anything like that. It's like, let the people decide. I read this whole article recently that was like, you should never ask women when they're going to have a baby or if they want to have kids, because there's like, it's a very loaded question. Some women cannot conceive. Some women, have trouble conceiving, whether it would be miscarriages or whatever. And then some women, frankly, just don't want a fucking baby. And so it's like everyone constantly asking women who don't have kids when they're going to have kids must be annoying as fuck. And Ariana has told us a million fucking times she doesn't want a goddamn baby. Okay. And then I just saw them all on Watch What Happens Live. And Andy was like asking him, like, are you sure you don't want to have a baby? It's like she said a thousand goddamn times she don't want no fucking baby. Excuse my French. It just must be so fucking annoying. It's like she said she don't want a baby. I don't know, but I would like to see Tom carrying a baby. That's neither here nor there. What else? Oh, and then also, LVP comes over and she says, like, Tom and Tom still aren't allowed to go to Tom Tom. She's like, it's like keeping kids out of a kitchen for a surprise. And this is all fucked up. You guys, there's something else going on there behind the scenes. Like, why aren't the part owners allowed to show up at this bar before it opens? Like, this is not right. This is all fishy for me. And even in Lisa's confessional, when she says something about Tom and Tom, like when she said that line about like, it's like keeping them out of the kitchen. Something felt off to me about that. Like they're all hiding something and I don't know what it is. I'm determined to get to the bottom of it. But it's very odd, right? If you're a part owner of anything, you could show up there. Like if I were to invest so much money into opening a restaurant, then you better believe I'd show up there when the fuck I want to. So I don't know. There's something fishy. Maybe it'll all get worked out, but I feel like I'm harping on this a lot. Like, I noticed it every week. I'm noticing more and more weirdness with it, and I need to know what's going on. So Stassi, the whole event went really well. It seemed like everyone was really happy. There was a moment at this National Outfit of the Day party that really shook me to my core. I got the shivers. Like, even just reading my notes, like, it may be the grossest thing I've ever seen on TV. I think it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And that is when Stassi fed Bo, her boyfriend, the hamburger that she was eating while she was eating it. She literally fed Bo like a bird. It was, she regurgitated her food for Bo to eat, and he ate it. And look, I'm all for seeing quirky, weird stuff on these reality shows. I want people to be who they are. I want to see them, you know, warts and all. But this was a little too much. I felt like this crossed a line. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see food in someone's mouth and then get spit up into somebody else's mouth. They weren't even drunk. It seemed completely sober. It was a hamburger. Bo, you know, Stassi was eating this hamburger, and Bo said something like, oh, I want that hamburger. That looks good. And then she just was like, oh, here. And the camera was right on them. Like, they knew the camera was there. And they went full throttle, right, doing it anyway. And look, that's ballsy, and I appreciate that. But I just feel maybe they should have censored it, you know, put a censor bar over it. I don't know. Or bleeped it, somehow bleeped it. I don't know, showed us something, a cut to commercial. I don't know. The actual food going from mouth to mouth was a little too far for me. So then we see Brittany talk to Lisa, and Brittany like goes up to Lisa, and she was with Sheena. Okay. So it was like the two of them, and then LVP like came up, and Brittany was like, oh, listen, I need to talk to you. I'm nervous. You know, Brittany was nervous. And then Lisa at one point, you guys, she pushes Sheena's head to the floor with her drink, using her drink in her hands. And Sheena just goes to the floor, like she gets on her knees or whatever. And then Lisa uses Sheena's head as a table. She just acts as if it's a nightstand and then continues talking to Brittany. And no one batted an eyelash. It just happened. We were all on board. It was like no one, Brittany didn't even look down. Lisa pushed Sheena to the floor and Brittany didn't even look. You know, it was like Sheena was like, you know, groveling at Lisa's feet. And Brittany didn't even like look down or reach out a hand, nothing. It was just like, oh, yeah, that's what's going on. You know, we're all just accepting it. Sheena's on the floor. Sheena's the new table for Lisa to rest her drink upon. And no one's even, you know, nothing. No one showed up. And then all of a sudden it cut away. It was like Sheena was gone. And then I don't know if she was still there. Maybe I assume Sheena was just on her hands and knees that whole scene, maybe? I don't know. It was unclear. All I do know is that Lisa shoved Sheena to the floor and used her as a table, and it was one of the best things I've ever seen. So funny. And I assume she was just, I don't know, on the floor? And then, so Brittany and Lisa, they're talking. Jax joins in at one point and apologizes for, you know, how he was in that staff meeting. And I couldn't concentrate on any of this because I was thinking about Brittany's confessional. Did you guys see? I don't know that this is a new confessional. It might not have been a new confessional, but it's the first time I really paid close attention. And Brittany has like all these curls in her hair in this confessional. And it was like 1990s Taylor Dane realness, or, you know, fucking Jesse Spano and Saved by the Bell. It was like this big curly hair. I was totally entranced by it. I loved it. I don't know. It was like very 80s. It shocked me at first. Like when I first saw it, I was really taken aback. Jumped off my chair, like fell backwards. You know, like my whole chair went back and I fell on the floor like Sheena as a table. And I was shocked by it. This curly hair was a beautiful look, but it was just, I couldn't tell. I don't know. And then I literally spent like the next 10 minutes thinking about it. Well, do I like that look or do I not like that look? I landed on liking it. I'll be honest. I did. I think it's like kind of a throwback, but it was just all curly. And now I wanted to wear her hair like that all the time. It was so, ooh, ooh. Anyway, Brittany said that Jax and LVP go at each other. Lisa said Jax needs to show some respect. This scene, Britt kind of seemed like she was unraveling a bit. And we see more of it later. But this scene, when she was at this pump event, it seemed like she was starting to, it seemed like she's trying so hard to please everyone and then not pleasing herself, which I get. You know, I get that. I feel like sometimes I really get Brittany, but it seemed like she's just trying to please everyone else and she's not pleasing herself at all. And I noticed her unraveling here. And then the next scene we see, we're at Katie's apartment, Katie and Tom Schwartz's apartment with the Bubba signs. That Bubba sign that just, you know, be there forever. I don't know. You know what I was thinking? Like, are they going to move and take that sign with them? You know, like, because eventually they're all going to upgrade their houses. Like, eventually they're going to move out of this apartment. They're going to make enough money from the show and from Instagram sponsorships and all that stuff. And they're going to move into a nicer place. And I wondered, like, where, when you do move, and when you move to a house that has, like, maybe a living room, a dining room, you know, all these other rooms, are they going to carry that Bubba sign with them that's above the couch? And if so, where are they going to put it in their new house? Is it going to be like a kitchen thing? Is it going to be like a basement item? You know, like something that you like and you always had, so you put it up in the basement. I don't have a basement in my house. I live in a tiny apartment. But I thought, where are they going to put that Bubba sign? Above their bed? I don't know. Hopefully, you know, they either sell it on eBay or throw it in the Sir dumpster, because I'm not sure that it's a keepable item, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, the girls all meet, and Brittany shows up with Lala, Ariana, Sheena. They're planning this girls' night thing, and Brittany, like I said, was unraveling. And it's revealed that right before all the girls showed up, Jax was at the apartment screaming about the wedding stuff and LVP and all this stuff. And it wasn't filmed, which was very upsetting to me, because Katie said it was like an hour ago, and I thought, well, the camera guys are here. They must have been setting up when Jax was going on this tirade and all that. Couldn't someone have turned their cell phone on or something? Like, they're, you know, get the iPhone in his face? I don't know. I just feel like in certain moments like that, we need, somebody needs to be smart enough to turn on their cell phone and hand it over to production. If the camera people aren't there, then I'm going to need Katie to step up and throw, you know, a GoPro on that Bubba sign so we could see what's going on. I mean, honestly, like, no one's looking at that Bubba picture. We could throw a GoPro up and no one would even notice. No one would even know a camera's on it, because everyone's eyes turn away from that Bubba sign. Okay, as someone who's watched this show for years, I could tell you that I don't want to look directly at that Bubba sign. And so I wouldn't even know if there was a full camera lighting equipment, you know, a boom mic. They could have the whole fucking, you know, Dodd camera or whatever on that picture and no one would look twice. So, you know, I'd say at some point, Vanderpump producers, like, we need to get some equipment on there so that when things like that, this happen, we get them on camera. Because I don't like when there's no, when I'm heard, when somebody's telling me a story that we missed. It happened last week, too, at Stassi's birthday party. Enough. Taylor Armstrong, enough. We need cameras on these people at all times. So it was revealed that Jax had this big tirade. Brittany's kind of unraveling a little bit. And they're planning this thing. And while they're planning it, guess who's over in the studio with a trumpet? It's Tom Sandoval. So Tom Sandoval, actually, he went to the studio with James. Lala didn't show up. And Tom is in the studio playing his trumpet. And this was one of those moments, you guys, where, like, all of my endorphins were flowing, like, literal edge of my seat. Like, it's so happy, like, clapping like a fucking, I don't know what. You know, Nicole Kidman at that award show, and her hands were just like, you know, she was violently clapping and it was just her palms touching, you know, like that's what was going on when I saw Tom with the trumpet, because him and that trumpet is so fucking funny. And I don't know where I heard this. It might've been from Tom. It might've just been an interview. I'm not sure. But I remember hearing that last season when he was playing the trumpet and they inserted sounds, he said that, or somebody said, it was like sounds were inserted, so it wasn't actually his trumpet playing sound. And I wondered if they were doing that again. I don't care what they're doing, but I want to see all the footage of Tom with that trumpet. It was so good. I'd like a full show with that trumpet, a full season show. You know, he should go on The Masked Singer. I know. Are they playing the trumpet on that? I don't know. Or America's Got Talent? I don't know. Put him on somewhere with the trumpet, because I'd like to see more of it. And at one point, Tom said he's just as good as Lala, and show me more of him with that trumpet. And then James is pissed about this girls taking over girls' night in, and he says in his confessionals, Katie's won't stop reminding me how she's a bitch. Just awful. And then back at the girls' place, they plan this girls' night in, and then they say they need to do a flyer. And you guys, they just took a picture of Lala's naked breasts. They did. And then Lala said, you know, everyone's seen my tits. She said, if you don't think I'm going to take my tits out for a good cause. And I thought, like, what's the cause? I don't know that there is no cause attached to this. This was a girls' night in. This was just a night It was taking over for See You Next Tuesday, which was just a DJ night at a restaurant. Like, there's no charity attached to this girls' night in, you guys. And Lala was like, well, it's for a good cause. And I thought, like, what's the cause? Like, Lisa's, you know, Villa Rosa? Lisa's mortgage? That's the cause. So Diana could get a new car? I don't know. There was no cause. But I appreciate Lala just stepping on in and making that flyer. So then Katie brings up Jax, and Brittany starts to unravel even more. And Brittany says, when are people going to believe I'm happy? And then she takes the mic off, and she's, I'm on the brim of freaking out. I'm on the brim. And she, like, really seemed like she was going to lose it. And it was interesting because the fourth wall was broken. And she said something. She said, it's not going to be like my relationship is fucked. That's what Brittany said. And what she really meant by that was she doesn't want the whole season to be about her relationship being fucked. And I think she felt in that time really self-conscious or really, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. She was worried that the whole season is going to be about her and Jax's relationship being all fucked up and everyone's going to be talking about it. Paranoid, that's the word I'm looking for. But it was so interesting because, first of all, it was a version of Brittany that we haven't seen much of or at all. And Kate even said, I would feel this way if I was marrying Jax, but she seemed so paranoid. She like left and we heard just the audio of her arriving at Jax's house. And she seemed like she was really losing it, really angry. Oh, it was tough to see. It was like a total different side of Brittany that we have not seen before. And I think there's a lot of sides to Brittany we haven't seen before. And this was just a taste. But I love that the fourth wall was broken. Always love when that happens. I'm on the brim of freaking out. It was dark, you guys. I thought it was one of the darkest things we've seen. And I thought there was so much subtext to it. It was like, is this all happening because she's stressed about marrying Jax? Or is it just because of the show? Like, she's worried how she's going to look on the show. And I thought it was more about, like, I don't want to look like this on the show. Like, I don't want the show to be about me and Jax, you know, not getting along. And then I thought, like, I wonder if there's more to her than that. About, like, is she worried, you know, how she's going to look on the show all the time? Like, I don't know. It felt really dark to me. It did. And she's all about keeping the peace for Jax. And I get that, you know, she wants everyone to get along with Jax and to trust him and to all that stuff. And I thought, oh, I hope this isn't going to be like a whole, it's going to be like this her whole life. Like, buckle up, Buttercup. Like, this is, whew, I don't know. But I relate to her in so many ways, like wanting to keep the peace and all that. Ugh. I don't know. Then we cut to a scene that was one of the best of all time, you guys. It was shocking. Wow, Bethany, wow. This was a scene, and this was when Lala and Sheena meet with Shannon, Lala's acting coach. I rewound and watched the scene twice, because I could not believe what I couldn't believe my eyes. I truly thought, like, is this happening? It was all happening, let me tell you that, and didn't make any goddamn sense, not a lick of sense. First of all, why were they there? I know Sheena's acting that, you know, straight sex for gay men, or whatever the fuck that show is in Vegas that she did. So, and she, well, I guess, you know, Sheena said she was acting again, so that makes sense, actually. She's dusting off her acting chops, I believe she said. And then, so they show up to the meet with the Shannon woman, who I was already skeptical about, and then I got real skeptical about her later, but, you know, one step at a time. So they show up at this place, and then, you know, Sheena reveals she wants to get an acting in, and they flash back to Sheena with her manager. And this was a flashback scene, and I thought, oh my god, like, this is just one little flashback, and it's better than some shows' entire seasons. This flashback of Sheena with her manager was better than all of last season of Orange County, all of last season of Beverly Hills. Like, we got more in this 10 seconds than I could have ever dreamed of. It was Sheena talking to her manager, and then she said, I'm 33 now, but I feel like I could still play college. And then the manager said, you could also play a young mom. We're going to go with young mom. Wow. Goosebumps. I never laughed so hard. Oh my God. Like, it was, They literally just said, well, you're going to play a young mom. Like, you're not playing. Sheena thought she was playing college. She thought she was going to be in some sorority movie. Like, Lala was in that sorority movie. Sheena thought she's showing up for some sorority audition. So then, you guys, as if it couldn't get any better, then they're on this stage, just the two of them and Shannon, the acting coach. And look, I've taken plenty of acting classes. I've lived in LA for, you know, lots of years, and I've taken classes with the best of the best acting coaches, teachers. I've taken classes at The Groundlings, Second City. You know, I've been there, done that, done it all with some of the best teachers around in this city. People that, you know, I've spent countless dollars trying to jumpstart my acting career only to start a podcast instead. And I would like to say I am hireable. If anyone needs an actor, I am trained. And I know that's not what this is, but I just would like to tell you that I would like to act. So if you would like to hire me for your gig, for your TV show, for your film, I am trained. And I was trained by people that weren't Shannon. But anyways, Shannon, Lala and Sheena's acting coach, she says, why don't you guys get on stage and do an orgasm? She wants them to fake orgasm on stage, which I've taken tons of acting classes, you guys, and I've never once been asked by a teacher to do an orgasm on stage. Never once. I don't feel that that's appropriate. I don't think it's, you know, helpful for acting. I'm sure there's plenty of other ways to get her point across. Why was this Shannon woman just asking him to come on stage? I mean, this was bizarre. And then they didn't even ask any questions. Sheena and Lala are just like, okay, here we go. What the fuck, Shannon? Why are you asking them to orgasm? Like, Lala, she's doing the fake orgasm, and then she's like, I just came. And then Sheena does it, and she ends it with, like, I'm wet. And it was just like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know how this is relevant to acting at all. And, like, I don't know what's happening. Shannon was acting like this was all normal. And then literally, like, Sheena finished fake orgasming on stage. And Shannon's like, okay, time for me to wrap this up. See you later. And she was out of there like a bat out of hell. Shannon was most certainly going home to probably masturbate. You know, I'm guessing. But Shannon booked out of there like a bat out of hell. She couldn't have gotten out of that room faster. It was like, they didn't even have time to say goodbye. Shannon just, like, left the room right after Sheena came on stage. And then Lala's like, my ass is wet after that. And I was like, what the fuck is this scene? Like, they don't do that at Groundlings, you guys. Let me tell you that much. I don't know where Shannon teaches, but woo! I thought that was, I don't know. We need to get some. Can we get the police in there? Someone needs to go into these classes and, you know, audit Shannon. We need to figure this out. Anyway, then it's revealed that Billie Lee tweeted that she was the only girl who wasn't invited to this girls' night in. So then they show that Twitter fight, which anyone who follows the blogs or the Twitter stuff, we know that this happened over the summertime and it was very compelling, but we saw it all on screen, which I like. I'm glad they, like, brought that into the storyline, because I think a lot of the drama happens off camera, and I'm fine if it happens on social media. I think they need to show it. And so they did show us the little Twitter fight. It was very messy. I'm very glad that they're letting Billie be a little messy, because I think last season Billie wasn't allowed to get in the mix in terms of the drama. And I think when there's one trans person on your show or your network, I think there's almost a responsibility to show the best sides of that trans person. And I think that that also creates a problem for the narrative of these reality shows, because you need all the characters in these reality shows to be able to be messy, right? However, that's why I think we need more trans, in general, LGBT people on these shows, so that they can be messy, they can be lovely, they can be all shades of everything. And so that's why this fight is very interesting. But so the girls' night in seems like a good success. They have someone named DJ Mickey. Everyone's in their pajamas. I thought I would go to that. Like, I would go somewhere. I love going to places in my pajamas. Love the idea of it. I don't think it's still going on, but I'd love to go to there. And meanwhile, James and Raquel, they're at home in their robes. Tom showed up. They give Tom a pink robe, which Tom said it was his power color. And Tom said he felt bad for James. And James said, he's just so mad that they started this girls' night in. And he said, you know, I've been working so hard on this night. And he's like, now girls' night in is a success. And Lala's tits are going to get all the credit, he said in his confessional. Meanwhile, back at the girls' night in, all the girls are dancing on the bar in their pajamas. Ken is asleep on a table in the back. We got a couple shots of Ken literally looking asleep. You know, my arch nemesis in the back. He was in the back room. And I thought, Ken, just go home. Put on your own pajamas. Go home and go to bed. Doesn't look like you want to be there. We don't want you here. I don't think that those people, I don't think all those young women showed up to girls' night in for Ken. So, you know, Ken, you know, buckle on up home, you know, drag Jiggy back home to Villa Rosa and take a nap. I don't know. So then Billie Lee shows up because Billie Lee was on the schedule to work that night. And Billie Lee said it was, she's always felt like she wasn't able to go to girls' things and that felt wrong. And I thought, that's it. You guys, that's what's going on here. There's more, so much more to this fight than I think. I would say, like, okay, I'm watching this fight. I would say I'm on Katie's side in terms of a lot of this stuff. But I do get that feeling because it was like a lifetime of emotions coming on Billie. When Billie Lee saw that she wasn't tagged in this event, there was a lifetime of like deeper shit going on. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to the bottom of that because it's an hour-long episode of this Vanderpump Rules show. But there was so much more to it than what we were seeing. And so I did feel for Billie Lee. Like, I understood what Billie Lee was saying when it was like there, she felt unincluded, and she's gone her whole life feeling unincluded or not included. And that's sad. And Ariana and Sheena come to try to talk to Billie Lee. Ariana's always stuck in the middle. Also, by the way, Ariana was in like a gorgeous bandage dress in her confessional. Like, I was obsessed with that. But then Katie comes over, and Billie Lee had tweeted like, you know, trans, hashtag trans is beautiful. And then Katie was saying, well, you call me transphobic. And Billie Lee's like, I didn't call you transphobic. But then Katie's like, well, you liked all these comments that tweeted, people that tweeted you and said I was transphobic. And that was interesting to me because it was like, Billie Lee might not have tweeted anything about Katie being transphobic, but she did like things about Katie being transphobic. I don't know. But I thought, this is why we need, again, I've said this way too many times, but this is why we need more LGBT people on this show, because I don't know that we're getting, I don't know that Billie as one human being is able to express how she felt in this moment, and there's no one there to help Billie Lee express it. So it's coming across as terrible. And Billie Lee said, well, you have cis privilege. Then Katie goes and tells Lala, and Lala gets mad, but she didn't understand what cis privilege meant. I just think a lot of this was really rough. Really, really rough. And then, luckily, it was all broken up by a moment from Kristen Doty. My queen. My queen, Kristen Doty. So LVP revealed that it was like a huge success, this girl's night in. Then Kristen in her confessional, she's running around the soundstage. And she's singing, it feels so good. And then she said, I won, James is gone, you know. Her arms were flailing about as if independent from her body. It was just like her big ass long limbs were just, you know, she looked like, what's that one Muppet that like waves, you know, you know, when Kermit gets like really excited and like just waves his arms, you know, that was what Kristen Doty was doing. It was like Kristen turned into fucking Kermit the Frog and the arms were just flailing about independent from the body. And it was a beautiful thing to see. Kristen was so excited that James was like lost this night or whatever. It was so fucking good. Meanwhile, like James is still at his house. They're listening to like his track with Tom and the Trumpet. I cannot. Tom was like, we'll just edit it. Oh, I love Tom and the Trumpet. And then back at the girls' night in, Billie Lee meets with LVP. And Billie Lee says, I fought for that pronoun. And again, I want to say, like, I understand Billie's feelings and emotions, but Billie Lee, I think, was going about it all wrong in this episode, because I also think, like, it's damaging to say that somebody is transphobic over something that was, you know, Katie posting an Instagram comment saying, you know, come to this girls' night in and not tagging you. But I also get Billie Lee's feelings and perspective on it. So I did, I think most people would probably be, I don't know. And then it didn't help matters when Billy was talking to LVP and saying, well, like, Katie always plays the fat card and she could put down the food. And I thought, no, you're not at all helping your point. And you could see Lisa Vanderpump's face. It was like, Lisa's face was like, what are you doing? Stop. And it was just like, it wasn't helping Billy's case at all. So I'm definitely team Katie on this, but I do completely understand where Billy Lee's coming from, and I feel bad, and I wish we can get more to the bottom of it, and I wish that Billy Lee could properly express and have the platform to express of, like, well, this is why, like, the reason why I got so upset is because I've always felt excluded as a child or whatever it is. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get it, but I did love that we're getting messiness from other people in the cast. Like, this is what we need Adam to do. We need Adam to step up to the plate, you know, Sheena's Adam or whatever. And we need him to step up and be messy. He's so attractive, and he should be in this main cast. But we need him to give us a storyline. Like, you know, tell someone to fuck off or throw a drink in someone's face or, you know, get a storyline going, Adam. I feel like Adam thought, well, you know, I'll parade around with Sheena for a couple nights, and that'll get me on the show. And it's like, it's not that simple. Like, this is a dynamic cast of characters. Like, we need you to get in the mix. Kristen's scaling a fence with someone named Hope to get on camera. Okay, Adam, so we're going to need you to do something more exciting than just show up and film with Sheena. I did love, though, when he filmed with her and, like, she wanted to fuck him and he's just like, nope. But, you know, so we need other people, not just Adam. We need some of the other people. Like, that's Kathy's problem. You know, Kathy, Christina, whatever the fuck her name is, that's her problem. She never got in the mix enough. She could have been a main cast member. She's a beautiful gal. But she was never able to get in the mix or get a jumpstart a storyline. So, unfortunately, Kathy, we don't even know where the fuck she is. Hopefully, somebody sends out an SOS and we figure it out. But I need Billy Lee. I'm very proud of Billy Lee for stepping up and getting some storylines going. And we need other people to do this. Because as much as I love the current cast, I also love seeing new drama unfold. And so I need more people to get in the mix. I don't know.
Icons. If you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic.
So that was the episode. I loved it. Every week I'm loving this show. I think it's fantastic. It's so, so good. Next week, we get more Billy Lee versus Lala. We get Tom and Jax's birthday party, which I was at, you guys. I was at that skating party. I was there, and I'm so nervous. I'm going to be, like, in the background, because I was, I think I told you guys, I was in, it was a 1970s theme, and I was sausaged into my costume. And so I think you'll just see me in the background, like, trying to, I was, like, holding a lot of extra weight at the time, and I'm just like, you'll see me in the background, like, trying to skate and, like, suck in my belly in this outfit that didn't fit me. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, very excited. I love you guys so much for listening. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook, facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. Thank you to Samsung Technologies for sponsoring the show. I want to ask everyone to head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic if you want to support this podcast. For $4 or more per month, you could donate or pledge $4 or more per month. You get access to all sorts of bonus episodes, and you help make this podcast. So just go to patreon.com/everythingiconic and click become a patron. Thank you to everyone who's over there already. What else? We got to do our little cool down. I know we've been having a lot of episodes lately. We've been doing the Lohan recaps plus Vanderpump and plus another episode. So it's been about 3 episodes a week. And so, you know, we'll keep doing it, but I have some really great guests coming up. I'm so super excited about. So, you know, we'll see. Let's do our little silly little cool down, which I love. Want everyone to take a deep breath in, hold it, take a deep breath out, take another deep breath in. And I want you to think of an LGBT member in your life, a friend, family member, whatever. Breathe out. Now, on Vanderpump Rules, like, I know this is such a tough topic to talk about, but I thought the episode was great for presenting something like this. I wish we got more deeper into these issues that were happening between Billy Lee and Katie. Unfortunately, I don't know that we are, but I would like you to reach out to someone that you know, an LGBT person, and just, if they watch the show, talk to them about the show and say, you know, do you understand where Billy Lee was coming from? And if they don't, if it's not someone who watches the show, maybe just reach out and say, hey, this is what was going on. Do you have any intel? Do you know why this person might feel this way? Like, try to understand, because I think there was so much more to it than that. And I think we all could learn and stuff. So I know that's silly and cheesy, but, you know, talk to your friends. I love you all so much for listening. Rate and review this on iTunes if you like it. Okay, I love you. Bye. There's no turning back.